Well, the message I got this afternoon was, I don't care what you talk about, as long as you don't talk very long. So, we'll see if we can hold her down. I told Mike this is one of those lessons that's really short in and of itself, but it just depends on how the Spirit moves me when I'm talking. So I guess he's hoping the Spirit will leave me alone this afternoon. We'll get on with turn this off. Okay. Job 66:22-26. Behold, God exalted by his power. Who teacheth like him? Who hath enjoined him in his way? Or who can say, thou hast wrought iniquity? Remember that thou magnify his work which men behold. Every man may see it, man may behold it afar off. Behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. Job had a very simple question. He said, who is like God? This morning we read a lot about the way that God blesses us, the way that God forgives us, and it just, who's like God? There's nobody like God. And beyond that, the power of God. Who has the power of God? Who can enjoin him in his way? Who can stand against him? Or who can tell him, hey, God, you done something wrong? Well, nobody. Nobody. Remember that thou magnify his word, that men may behold him. Let's read one more, and then I'll get to my point. Psalm 34:1-11. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked into him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Magnify the Lord. What does it mean to magnify something? Well, a lot of us have got these little glasses things, and they magnify the page. Now, they don't make what's on the page any bigger. It's already what it is. It's there. What do? They make it appear to be bigger. It makes it more conspicuous. It makes it stick out. Makes it come out. And that's what it means to magnify. It means to enlarge that which is already there, or make it appear larger, to make it more where people can see it, to honor it, to praise it, to magnify it, to glorify it, to increase it. And that's what Job and David both said we needed to do. We needed to magnify God. We need not that we can increase him, but we need to look at him. We need to study him out and understand what he is, because we don't know him. You know, we know a little bit about him, but we don't know God. And to do that, we have got to dig into his word. We find little nooks and crannies. We see little things that we didn't notice before. And then we begin to get a bigger picture of God. Because if you just look at one part of something, you don't really know what it looks like. You need to look it over good. You need to get close. You need to inspect it. You need to find out about it. That's why the Scripture teaches us to study, to show ourselves approved. Because God wants us to know about him. He wants us to look into him. He's got nothing at all to hide. Now, I have this picture here. This is a magnification of something. This is a close-up view of something. I'll give you just a second to see if you can guess what it is. Probably not. It's kind of blurry. That's an alligator. He got it. He's excited. But when you look at an alligator, you can say, well, yeah, that's an alligator. I know all about it. But have you looked at it close? Sometimes you get close to something you don't even recognize that. And I think a lot of people, especially a lot of the denominational world, not to disrespect them or anything, but they have a picture of God and they think that's God. If they would look a little bit closer, they might understand that God's not what they thought He was, necessarily. You need to know God. You need to know the details of God and see how He is and what He is. I'll give you a hint. You probably won't be able to buy these in a couple of months. When they run out, you won't be able to buy them anymore. It's a light bulb. Got to look up close. Look up close to see things you didn't see before. It's the easy one. It's close, man. See what I'm saying? You look at something and you know what it looks like, you think. But if you look closer, you see all kinds of things you didn't see before. And that's the way it is with God. I venture to say every one of you got several of these in your house. Probably never looked at it that close. Smoke detector. See what I'm saying? You got to look into stuff. You got to look close. There is quite a mechanism now. Quite the mechanism. All kinds of detail, sharp cuts. That thing is machined to a fine edge. It's a light. Got to look close. You got to pay attention to the detail. You got to see what's going on. You don't necessarily know God just by taking a glance at Him. There's nooks and crannies and all kinds of things that you can see with God if we'll but look. Now, kids for the kids, they surely know what this is. That would be Tigger, of course. That's for my granddaughter. Got to get Tigger on there. Do I know what that is? That is an awful looking animal, now I'm telling you. Take a peek at this animal. It's what it looks up close. It's about 2 millimeters long in real life. That's a flea. I'll give you another. This one looks awful. No ribs on its back, ribs on its side, pinchers, claws. That's a dust mite. I'm allergic to them. That's why I got that on. You can take a regular penny and lay 476 dust mites end to end on a penny. That's how small they are. It's amazing. But if you look at them close now, you find out there's a lot more to them than you think. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46, 48, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Her soul made God bigger. Her soul made God to increase. Her soul showed God to those around about her. And he said, "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And they do. They do. Acts 10:44, "When Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." Magnify God. That's what it's all about, is to make God big. Heard a guy one time, he said, "Don't tell God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big God is." That's a simple little saying, but it's the honest to goodness truth. We serve the Lord God, creator of all heaven and earth. By His very word, the heaven continues. By His very presence, the earth continues to rotate. You take God out of the equation and things stop, contrary to what the scientists tell you. It is God which holds things together. God, which should be glorified and magnified and brought forward. I want to read to you from Numbers 13:32. This is when the children of Israel came up to the land and they sent out spies. They sent out 12 spies and they sent them out there for 40 days and they looked around and they come back and they says, they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. Same, and this is just 10 of them. Of course, the land through which we've gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were at their sight. Now, I want to ask you a question. These 10 men that came back and they brought up this evil report, what were they magnifying? They were magnifying the evil, weren't they? They were magnifying this land. Eats up the inhabitants thereof. It's a huge, vast land. All the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. Giants. The sons of giants. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And that's what we looked like to them. We're just grasshoppers. Now, you reckon that was really true? There's a pretty big grasshopper. That's an awful big grasshopper. Thing's 3.5 fingers long. What do you think? A grasshopper can get to be about 6 inches long. Now that's the largest grasshopper in the world, not necessarily the ones over there. 6 inches long. For sake of argument, we'll say they get 2 inches tall. Now, if they were in their sight as a grasshopper is to them, let's say they was 5.5 foot tall. We are going to say the people were 181 foot tall. 181 foot tall man. Can you imagine? That's 18 stories. Now, let's assume it was a regular sized grasshopper. You know, about an inch tall, we're talking, 360 foot tall man. Heads brushing the clouds. Come on, give me a break. Ain't nobody at the top. Said, well, they were the sons of Anak. I brought this out in Deuteronomy 3:11. Og, the king of Bashan, remained in the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron, is it not, in Rabbath, the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth thereof after the cubit of a man. A cubit is from here to here. And that can vary depending on the height of the individual, because from your tip of your finger to tip of your finger is how tall you are. All right, so from here to here is half of here to here, which is a quarter of how tall you are. A 6 foot man, that's 18 inches. Now, 18 inches became the standard, usually after Babylon or somebody invaded you and took over. They would make it 18 inches. All right, so here's the deal. His bed then, if it was a cubit, was 18. His bed was 9 cubits long. So his bed was between 12 and 13 foot long. 12 to 13 foot long, and it was about 5 or 6 foot wide. 4 cubits, we'll say 5 or 6 feet wide. And that's a big bed, right? Right there is a king size bed. I sleep on one of them every night. You know what? My bed is wider than his bed. Now, granted, I can lay crossways in it, not hang over the head. But 13.5 feet long, really, when you boil it right down, like putting 2 double beds in a friend. Now, he was a king. His bed probably was bigger than it needed to be, right? Because he was a king, after all. So how big do you think these people were 360 foot tall? Do you really think it? You think they was 180 foot tall? No. These people were magnifying the wrong thing. Instead of thinking about how God brought them up out of Egypt, how God parted the Red Sea, how God had led them through the wilderness, how God had this pillar of fire in front of them at night and a pillar of cloud before them in the day, how God had done everything He could for them, What'd they say?
Oh, we can't take them. They're big. They're huge.
Now there again, that's one of those times you're reading in the book and you really want to look at them and shake them and say, really? Really? Joshua. Take that, no, he's got a book named after him. Joshua and Caleb, they said, no, we can take it. We'd be well able. We'd be well able. They was looking at the right thing. But we do that too. We get in our lives and we get troubles and trials and they get so big to us. It's just like we can't move them. We can't change them. We can't do anything about it. And all the while, God's back here. If we magnified Him, we'd be seeing something. Magnify God, not your problems. Magnify God, not sin and evil. These people, they were well able to take them, and they did. Here's an example. 1 Samuel 17:26. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Thank you, David. The armies of God standing out there quivering in their armor day after day because this 9-foot-tall man walks out and says, I will fight any one of you. Big deal. Kill him. That's what David said, too. He got turned. He's like, what do you get if you kill him? And why hadn't somebody killed him already? And he goes up to the king and says, oh, you never did. Oh, no, you never did. Here, take my armor, take my shield. And David, the young man at the time, he said, I can't use this garbage. I can't do it. I've never used one of them. I don't. It probably was weighing him down anyway. And so what does David do? He gets out 3 little rocks out of the creek. He said, I've killed a bear and a lion. I'll kill this thing. And he goes out there to the Philistine. The Philistine marches out there with his battle armor and his axes and all his stuff. And weaver's beam, this great big rod of spear thing he's got. David said, today I'm going to feed you the birds. And he ran at him. Ran towards him. Fired that stone and his son right in his forehead. David run up, got on top of him, took his sword, sliced his head off, and held it up for the Philistines to see. He was magnifying the right thing. He knew where his power was. It was gone. It was gone. What are we going to do today? Are we going to hide from our problems? Or are we going to look back and say, oh, it's just too much. I just can't do it. And I know people do that all the time. They just all that is. They just work ourselves. Oh, I just can't do it. I can't handle this too much. I just can't do it. Oh, no. About God. Where's God fit into that equation? Do you know Him? Have you met Him? Would you like to meet Him? He's awful big. Be glad to introduce you to Him. Then you have to get to know Him yourself. And you can. You can get to know God. You can praise God, glorify God, and magnify God's precious name. And then you will have something. And I will quit and we'll sing a song. If there's any here that needs help of the church in any way, I want you to come forward and make a promise.